Thank you so much to the musicians. We're now going to focus our attention on the Word of God. I'm continuing in my series on spiritual paradoxes. Tonight we are going to be focusing on Proverbs 11 verses 24 to 26, and I'll put it up soon. Receiving through giving. Let's read the text together. Proverbs 11, verses 24 to 26 from the New King James Version. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now as we come to your inspired word. We do cherish it. It is the word of God that you have given to us. Help us now to focus our hearts and minds on your word. By your Spirit, would you speak to us through it? Would you challenge us? And would you change us? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as we approach this passage, I found it necessary to focus my introduction on navigating through the prosperity gospel. Why would I do that? Well, the text that we have just read would be a wonderful text for a prosperity preacher, and they would tell you all manner of lies and deceit from it. And so the prosperity gospel is widespread throughout Christianity. It is rife in Africa, and receiving through giving would be the typical title of a prosperity or health and wealth message. And I've delayed preaching on this particular paradox of receiving through giving because it is difficult to navigate the prosperity gospel. So what I have done is I've included 6 or 7 extra slides just by way of introduction. So I do apologize. I like to stick to 30 minutes. In preaching, this might run over 30 minutes, just by a few minutes, because we do need to just have a little bit of a background and in context so that we can understand our passage properly, and let's get into it. So, just by way of introduction, here is a statement. The health, wealth, and prosperity teaching is a perversion of the Bible. It essentially teaches that if you are financially poor, then you have a weak faith, there's something wrong with you, and that there are fixed, certain spiritual laws that guarantee the outcome, that if you give some money, you are going to get multiplied money. That is essentially what the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel teaches. So whatever I say tonight, I'm not saying that. Let's be clear on that. Just 2 guiding principles as we're going to approach our text in a moment. The first one is this, that in the Bible there is no connection between faith and wealth and material wealth. James 2, what does it say? Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? So James could look at the church and he said, all these people who are rich in faith, they are not the wealthy and rich of the world. He says, in fact, they are the poor of the world. And this particular these few verses here break the connection between material wealth and faith. It is a fallacy and it is a perversion of the biblical teaching. You can be poor and you can have a great faith and be used mightily of the Lord. So that is the first guiding principle as we approach a text like Proverbs chapter 11. Second guiding principle, just as a general principle, the Old Testament promises of God's favor are often couched in physical, material terms, as Israel was a physical nation in a physical land with a national economy, etc. They do not always apply literally to New Testament believers. The principles of God's blessing are valid. It's for that reason that the health and wealth and prosperity teachers mainly focus on the Old Testament. They love the Old Testament, generally speaking, and we are in the Old Testament tonight. So that's the second guiding principle. And then just a note on the book of Proverbs. As we approach Proverbs, we need to note just one or two things. That Proverbs are not strict, infallible promises. There can be exceptions. For example, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. So does that mean that every single child born into a Christian home and taught the Bible is going to be a Christian? You cannot take a proverb as a complete, strict, infallible promise. Rather, the proverbs are general principles that God is pleased to usually adopt as he works in the world. So be aware of that as we approach this particular proverb. So for tonight, as we approach Proverbs chapter 11, keep in mind the principles that I've just mentioned. I'm not going to qualify everything to avoid the errors of the health, wealth, and prosperity teaching, because we do want to let the text speak for itself. It does have valid promises and principles for us that need to challenge our faith and our giving. And we must not throw out the baby with the bathwater. God does bless and prosper his people, just not always in strictly materialistic terms that the prosperity gospel would have us believe. So, let's jump into our text then, and I will move through with a brisk pace. I know that you might be tired after the day. So, let's first clearly identify the paradox in our text. Verse 24, there is one who scatters yet increases more. I could paraphrase that a little bit. There's someone who scatters and yet, surprisingly or paradoxically, that person increases more. We've obviously got fixed resources as people, and so as we use those resources and we scatter and we give to people, one would think that we are going to be impoverished, right? We're going to have less. And yet the text says, no, there is one who scatters, he gives, and yet, strangely enough, he increases more. Just to reverse that, there's another person who withholds more than is right. In other words, he withholds money, so one would expect that he becomes richer because he's not giving away so much. And it says here, but, or strangely, or paradoxically, the person who does that, it leads to his poverty. He actually has less. And then we are told that the generous soul will be made rich. So the person who loves to give and gives liberally, we would expect that person to become poor. And yet the text tells us that the generous soul, strangely enough, will be made rich. He who waters, in other words, here is someone who looks out for others and seeks their growth and seeks to make them flourish, we would expect that he would become drained and impoverished and struggle. But no, he who waters will also be watered himself. And then verse 26, let me explain what is happening here. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Basically, you have the scenario here where perhaps there is a need in the community. There's either a famine or some of the crops have failed for whatever reason, and the people are hungry and struggling, and this one person has got grain. And so he knows that if I withhold my grain for a few days, the price will go up, because as people get more and more desperate, they are willing to pay more. So here's somebody who is going to withhold grain so that the price will go up, so he can sell it and get a lot more money, make a higher profit. But the person who does that, a curse rests on him. But someone who goes ahead and sells it and gets less money and makes less profit, a blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. It's paradoxical. It's unexpected, these verses. Doesn't seem to go by the normal laws of economics. This is paradoxical and it is challenging for us. So let's explain and go into the parable, the proverb, a little bit more. The first thing in explaining these proverbs is to see the unseen hand of God. Did you notice that the three verses that we showed didn't have God's name in it anywhere? But look at it again. There's one who scatters, yet he increases more. How is it that the person who gives away is the one who gets more? It's because the hand of God is in that process. Why is it that the generous soul, the one who is giving away of his wealth, will be made rich, and the one who waters will be watered himself? Who will do that? Is there some just natural law that it's going to happen? No. The hand of God is in this process. His eyes are on what people are doing, and he will make the generous soul rich. People will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be upon the head of him who sells it. Do people have power to put curses on other people, and do they stick? No. But as Matthew Henry wisely commented on this verse, sometimes the voice of the people is the voice of God. And God is watching, who is trying to exploit the poor in their desperation, and it is him who brings a curse or brings a blessing on people's head. As Proverbs 19 verse 17 says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay back what he has given. The Lord is in the process of dealing with people who are generous or with people who are stingy. It is not just some cosmic law that is in operation. The second thing in explaining and understanding this paradox is there's a description of a generous soul. Let's have a look at this. There is one who scatters. Now, this doesn't mean wasteful scattering. What it means is that there's one who sees the needs around him and is not calculating, but seeks to meet the needs of those people that are around him. He scatters. He gives. It's not like a stingy, calculating, How much shall I give? What is the bare minimum that I can give? The word scattering implies a generosity of spirit. A generous soul. Just critical to pause here just briefly. If you look at the structure of this verse, 25 is what we would call a guiding principle and explains why the one who scatters increases more. But the one who withholds more than is right, it leads to poverty because, guiding principle, the generous soul will be made rich and he who waters will be watered himself. Someone who's caught up in the health and wealth and prosperity doctrines. Yes, he would be deceived by a preacher, but still that person who gets promised a hundredfold return and he takes out 100 rand and he puts it in the preacher's platter or offering box and he's now waiting for 10,000 rand to be returned to him. That is what happens. Listen to the testimonies of people who've come out of the prosperity movement. But that person, even though he's been deceived by a preacher, can you describe him as a generous soul? He takes out 100 rand, he puts it in the offering bag, and he's now waiting for his 10,000 rand to come back to him. His giving, is that generosity? No, we would perhaps describe that more as the greedy soul. The greedy soul. You see, generosity means somebody who delights in the act of giving. It's not just giving so that your bank balance can increase. That's not generosity. Generosity is somebody who delights even in the act of giving. Somebody who rejoices in blessing somebody who is in need. It's not a financial transaction. It is somebody who is willing and generous to bless and help somebody else. It is a heart that is focused on the needs of others and seeks to relieve those needs cheerfully. That is what a generous soul is. Another description of this person, it's somebody who waters. So that's a wonderful image, isn't it? If you water someone, it means that you are concerned for them and you're wanting them to grow. You, in fact, do whatever it needs to be done so that they will flourish. Do you see what type of a person this is? Looking to help others grow and for them to flourish. That is their heart's desire. And then, as we have seen, it is somebody who in a time of need will not exploit the poor but will sell what he has had, even if it means less profit so that he can help those who are in need. Not scheming and not calculating to try and get the last bit of profit out of the poor. Does that describe you and I? Do your family and do your friends recognize you as a generous soul? That is a good question to ask ourselves. Thirdly, to understand this proverb is to see the Lord's blessings that flow to the generous soul. Look at what the Lord says here in this passage. There is one who scatters and yet paradoxically, he increases more. Not necessarily financially, but the one who scatters is going to increase more. The generous soul will be made rich. Could be many ways, could be financially, but God is going to enrich that generous soul. The person who waters, isn't it interesting, will be watered himself. We would think that the one who waters, who looks out for others, who seeks to bless others, is going to become tired, worn out, and withered. No, the Lord's blessing flows to that person so that he flourishes and he grows as he is seeking to do that to others. And then God's blessings will be on the head of him who sells. That person might have difficulties and trials, and yet one would say of that person that the Lord's blessing is on his head. The Lord's blessings flow to the generous because we are told, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver and his blessings flow to that giver. We see then a stingy soul that is described in our text. And this is a summary slide because it is the opposite of the generous. This is somebody who is more concerned about themselves, about their quality of life, and about their needs and their bank balance. And so the thoughts that would go through the mind of this person would be, I need to look out for myself. Nobody else is going to look out for me. Where is my me time? I need my me time. And so we ensure that we have plenty of me time. Surely it's not wrong to make a little bit of extra profit in the world that we live in. That's the stingy soul. One who withholds more than is right. Not the generosity of a generous soul. Someone who will calculatingly withhold grain to raise the prices so they can exploit the poor and get more money. Do you notice the key word? The stingy soul is one who withholds out of concern for themselves, their own quality of life, their own needs. The Lord's displeasure towards the stingy soul. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. That soul is not going to prosper. He accumulates riches by withholding, and those riches lead, in fact, to poverty. Out of concern for themselves, they don't look to help others, to water others. They are the ones that end up withering, although they try to protect themselves. And then the curse that rests on those who try to exploit the poor for an extra buck. They withhold money, but they do not become richer. In fact, they become more miserable. That soul is not watered, and no blessing rests on their head. Have you ever noticed that those who are not generous in their lives, those who are penny pinchers, those who are really focused on themselves and can be described as stingy, are they the most joyful people that you will ever meet? No, they're not joyful. They're in fact not happy. They tend to be negative, critical, cynical, judgmental people. Not watered, not flourishing, not growing, no joy and peace in their life. God has placed a curse on them because they are seeking to exploit others and to withhold from others what they should be giving. Proverbs 21 verse 13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. That is quite a stern warning to us. I just want to make two qualifications before we move on. The text does say, and there is one who withholds more than is right. In other words, that it is right and appropriate at times to withhold some. The Lord does place responsibilities on you and I to care for our family. We do and we can plan for our future to an extent. We don't need to give away everything. The monastic vows of poverty are sinful and unbiblical. They're not right. And that's not what God is calling us to do. To give away everything, sell our house and sit in the dust with absolutely nothing so that our children go hungry. So there is an appropriate amount to give and manner to give it in. We must make sure that we are not withholding, though, more than is right. And with the grain, the text doesn't say, blessing will be on the head of him who gives it away. No, the person is allowed to sell it. There is an appropriate way of doing business and of earning some profit. Doesn't say, give it all away for free. But be careful how you do that and make sure that your profit does not come from exploiting the poor. So those are the two qualifications that I believe are in the text. But there is quite a serious demand in this paradox for us. Are you and I prepared to trust God and to scatter, to be generous, to water, and to sell? Trust is the key word because it can sometimes be quite scary with all the needs that are around us. And I just want to pause here just to take a New Testament verse to show you that when we come back to Proverbs, there is an element of promise. It is Proverbs. I'll keep on getting mixed up between parables and Proverbs, and so I'm concerned up here that I don't say parable instead of proverb. But when we come back to the Proverbs, this is a promise that the Lord has given to us in the New Testament. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is a promise that the Lord gives us through the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And so I want you to see that in our passage, in Proverbs 11, that there is an element of promise which needs to challenge us now. We do indeed receive through giving to others. We receive through giving to others. It takes faith to scatter and trust that you are not going to become impoverished. That takes trust, that you are going to scatter and you are not going to become impoverished, but the Lord is going to increase you. To be a generous soul, you have to trust that the Lord will enrich you in some way and in somehow, and that you are not going to be impoverished as you are generous to those people around you. That takes faith to do that and to give sacrificially. To water others, to dedicate your life to looking to the people around you, even in this church, but even in the needs in the community, to look who is in need, how you can water them, help them to grow, help them to flourish, and to trust that you are not going to end up withered and drained and in need. To trust that the Lord sees what you do and he's going to make sure that in fact you are watered yourself, that you and I will flourish and grow through seeking to make others grow and flourish. Do you see we receive through giving to others, and it takes faith. And that a blessing will be upon us when we consider the poor and we reduce our profit margins and our income because we are spending ourselves to try and help others and meet their needs. It takes trust to scatter, to be generous, to water and to sell, and to know that we will not be impoverished by it. It does take trust. Again, we receive through giving, and we have to trust the Lord in that. Last two slides. Paradoxes are always, there's an element of growth in them. God waters the generous soul, and that is what we have learned tonight. The one who waters will also be watered himself. Are you perhaps in your Christian life just never satisfied, discontent, not growing, always unhappy, negative, don't seem to be making progress in your Christian walk? Have you considered that maybe it's because you are too focused on yourself and on having your own needs met? But would you not test the Lord in this? And there are good ways in which the Lord says we to test him, that you would start looking to the needs of others around you, and that you will find in the process, as you seek to water others, paradoxically, you will find you will be watered. The Lord will refresh you, and the Lord will bless you. Do you sense the Lord's blessing on your life? I'm not saying do you have no difficulties, but do you sense the Lord's blessing on your life and his smile? If not, maybe it's because you're too focused on your own quality of life. A lot of your time and effort goes into making more money, higher profits in your business. And that's not where God's blessing is going to flow from. To serve in the church often does mean that you're not able to spend as much time in your business, and you accept that there's going to be some financial loss as you seek to serve and to bless others. But then will not God bless you in doing that? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we look at ourselves and we look at our church in general, and we have to confess before you that generally speaking, we are the affluent of the world. We do enjoy a good quality of life, and so many people around us are poor, are starving, are living in desperate circumstances. So all I would ask you tonight, Heavenly Father, is that you would challenge each one of us in terms of whether we are this generous soul that you love and that you will bless and water. Would you please change us through your Spirit that we might be described as one who waters others? And we trust you that you will water us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.